Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Swib Billy. And to my right, she's the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Improv, a tofu taster, Miss Allie Mack. Straight ahead, I've got the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And not that it matters to you, but to my left, I have an Eagles fan. Creepy waiver, Mr. Dylan Dallon Matthews, and with our forces combined, we make up the greatest sports talk radio show in the city, and from 6 to 9 a.m., this is the Morning Shift, and it is time, Allie, to look forward. We're no longer looking behind at Buffalo. I mean, we got other things to get to, but we are setting the table for a Sunday night matchup, our third primetime game in six, will be our sixth game. So we are just hitting the ground rolling here in Atlanta.
It's amazing to me how a three-day weekend really throws you off, but Monday Night Football also really throws you off.
Preach.
In the locker room, you have a 24-hour rule for almost all football coaches universally are like, hey, you got 24 hours, win or lose, get rid of it, flush it, whatever it is, get it out of your system. I would say we operate on a 48-hour rule around here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I would say that we give it 2 days.
Yeah, and I think it's – look, we can't not talk about a win like that
100%.
For more than just – like, we can't just talk about it for 24 hours. Like, it needs to give us this dude. Also, let's just be real. You know, yesterday they didn't practice. They had meetings and everything, but they're – and it's smart, and I think we'll get into this probably later in the season, Mike, but it's very smart to me because of the fact that you have no more bye weeks, and you are – that was a physical game. But, Allie, I'm driving in, and I'm like, it's Wednesday. No, wait, it's Thursday. Mm-hmm. Wait, what day is it? And I honestly just could not fathom what day it was, and it feels like a short week, but then again, it feels like I've been working for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
and I haven't. I've actually had rest, so it's
I was going to say, it's the last two weekends we haven't worked.
I know,
so it's been nice.
So I just I'm completely confused, much like I would be in a 3 day or 4 day work week
when you get thrown off.
I say
like
I
that.
Didn't work. I guess Bo was selling cars.
I did sell cars Saturday. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm trying to give you credit where credit's due, my friend.
Thank you.
Bo sold a car. I've sold 3 cars. Those are the stats I've been given.
Oh wow! She said y'all are not the same.
Well,
bam!
I would go get the
dry erase board and start tallying this thing.
Tell you, give me the equal chance of opportunities.
He said he's only had one at bat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And I hit a home run. So pinch, and it was a pinch hit home run. I came off the bench and hit one.
Can I just say real quick to your introduction to me earlier? Sandra Golden actually thinks I'm an Eagles fan because of you. Because
you are.
I'm not. I'm a Falcons fan. So, again, your false narratives are working,
Dylan, and I don't like it. Dylan, let me ask you a question.
Next week, we'll get a 76ers preview with Dylan Matthews.
Dylan. Real quick, and then we got to move on.
Yes.
Because I always got to give us headlines. Have you been to more Eagles games or Falcons games the last 5 years?
Well, that's such an unfair question.
Thank you. I've been to more Eagles games.
You'll take off to work for a Falcons game to go to an Eagles game.
You can't tell that man to hold on after throwing something out like that.
Exactly. And you give him a stop when's sign. The last time you took a game off to go to the Falcons game?
What? It's because I don't take that many games off, and I only do when I know someone really wants me to go to a specific game, and then I'm not selfish in the fact of like I just want to go to a Falcons game this week, so I'm going
to
take off.
Plus I like
to make money.
So you'll just go to an Eagles game instead.
Dylan, ask this man when's the last time he took off to go to a Falcons game as a fan.
Yeah, Bo. When's the last time you went to a Falcons game as a fan?
Hey, I think if you'll check the Atlanta Falcons Twitter, you'll see a video of me cheering in the broadcast booth.
There you go.
It looks like I'm multitasking, Michael.
Dylan, I think the appropriate stat you need to bring up up here is how many minutes do you spend listening to the Falcons game versus how much are you paying attention to the Eagles game?
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you, Alex.
Because it's every single minute of every Falcons game, right?
Every single minute, every Falcons game.
The ones he works.
Exactly correct.
The ones he works. The ones he's not in an Eagles game for. I love you, Dylan. I really do.
I do. I love you, brother.
We all do. Getting you caught up on everything that's happened since we last got to chat. Blue Jays, they're not out of this. They beat the Mariners last night, 13-4 in the ALCS. Mariners lead the series 2-1. Game four is tonight, along with game three of the NLCS. Dodgers have a 2-0 lead on the Brewers. Maybe the Brewers can duplicate what the Blue Jays did last night. Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland met with influential boosters on Tuesday. The result? Gators coach Billy Napier could be fired as soon as this weekend. We will get into that at 6:40. Steelers are in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals for Thursday night football. We have 40-year-old versus 40-year-old tonight. We'll talk about that when we go in the huddle at 7:20. And, of course, the least shocking headline we'll talk about all morning, Bijan Robinson wins NFC Offensive Player of the Week. It's his second honor this season. Monday, he totaled a career-best 238 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, and had he not won, we riot.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? We riot. Like, this has been a crowning week for a lot of different reasons of Bijan Robinson, and he's put his best foot forward. I'm trying to think back on his primetime games. Obviously, he's put his best foot forward when you've been on primetime. We talked a little bit yesterday, and Grant and I talked in the postgame show about how good the Falcons have been in prime time for the last 10 years. It's kind of insane when you look at just the overall record, but also the primetime record. It doesn't really make sense. But Bijan obviously putting his best foot forward in front of a Monday Night Football audience, a national audience. And it's like we talked to Eric at home yesterday, man. Everybody's talking about it. You're not going to get any more MVP love because of it or anything like that, and we've come to terms with that. But man, he does it all, and he's obviously a guy that's well worthy of notoriety like that.
He's like 90-something yards away from his receiving total last season, and he's only got 24 catches. He had 61 last year, and he's played in 39 games. I think we really count it 38 because that Tampa game is
headache gate.
Like, yeah, I still would love the backstory on that.
Same. I don't believe the headache thing at all.
But he has 23 games of 100 yards from scrimmage or more already in his career, which is the most since he entered the league. If you're not paying I know it's not the entire fan base, but I saw a couple people tweeting yesterday, well, now you know Bijan. And it's like, relax. He's only in year three. And, you know, we didn't really have any primetime games his first season.
At all. Yeah, we played straight 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And so year two, we got a couple sprinkled in. And we've started out, like I said, we're about to play our third one in our sixth game. And so it's just so happens that, you know, he's being introduced to the national the national scape, whatever, media market.
The national audience. And I'll say this as well, and this is a good problem, or I don't even want to call it a problem. It's a good thing. Most of the conversation, including really off this past weekend, but definitely when they played Sunday Night Football before, was about the pass rush. You know, about J.J. McCarthy, about getting home, about the six sacks. You had another, four this past weekend. That's a beautiful thing that we're having multiple avenues to kind of talk about a young Atlanta Falcons team and the growth that they've made. But I think it, like I said, it also circles and brings it back home when a guy like Bijan does get the love he so deserves and is able to do it in so many different ways.
I think that's a really good point. I've heard more about Jeff Ulbrich. I've seen more things nationally about Jeff Ulbrich than I have Bijan Robinson this week. As amazing as that sounds or crazy as it sounds, I'm serious. Like, maybe because I tune him out a little bit more when it's Bijan, because, you know, I don't got to tune him out, but I expect him. So maybe the Ulbrich ones kind of jump out more to me. But this was a hire that was criticized throughout the I don't know nationally as much as it was here at home.
Yeah.
You know, certain beat writers criticized it. Oh, the hiring the friends. Mm-hmm. And certain, you know, people in this radio station, fan base, and I understood. I will say this: I understood the fan base a little bit more about it because they didn't see him for a few years, but they remembered when he was here with Dan Quinn. And I think everything at the end of the Dan Quinn Dimitroff era kind of left a sour taste in your mouth. But the Ulbrich talked about it, because Dave Archer and I were talking about this on the phone yesterday, the difference in Ulbrich now and then. And Ulbrich, he talked about it in his press conference that he needed to grow. He learned a lot from leaving here and going to New York and going through all of that.
Yeah, I agree. And it goes back to everything we've heard from the players, right? Remember we played the cut from or Jesse Bates, about the quote from Jesse Bates and how these guys talk about Jeff Ulbrich and just the intensity, relatability, whatever it may be. It seems like he coaches exactly like he played with his hair on fire, and he's also making defensive calls that way. It's not just like an intensity of like, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's like, hey, I'm going to put you guys up to bat. We're about to be really blitz happy. We're going to try to get in the quarterback's face, and we're going to make some things happen. So it has been. It's been so nice. It's the NFL. You're not going to win the next – how many got left? 12. What goes up must come down. But I think it's a good week, right, because you talked about it yesterday. It's kind of a family affair against San Francisco. It's a good week to kind of reflect on Jeff Ulbrich because of Robert Saleh and everything else going on with Kyle Shanahan across the field. So it's kind of a good time to reflect.
Well, real quick, don't think that Sunday Night Football won't have a graphic up of him in a Niners jersey when he played in the league, you know, and he was a linebacker there. And then they'll do just what you said, the family affair and Saleh and Ulbrich.
Oh, we'll get a picture of the Jet staff, the whole thing.
We'll get Raheem. We'll get one of the Falcon staff with Raheem and Shanahan. And I thought it was interesting.
Just like this weekend on the college broadcast, you'll get a picture of Lane and Kirby over there with Nick Saban.
Yeah, and then somewhere there'll be a calorie question or a quote. But, you know, real quick, I know we got to get out, but like Ulbrich talked, and I know we're going to get to this cut, but Ulbrich talked about Shanahan's offense and was like, it's nothing like it was when it was here. And I want to touch on that about all these offenses, you know, and what they are and what they're not and how similar they are with just different looks, but same stuff.
We should make a bingo card of all the things you're going to see during the broadcast this weekend, because it sounds like you guys have predicted quite a few things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's Chris Collinsworth, so it's there's a few things that we know are going to happen.
It's a fair foul. Friday, tomorrow, we'll just do graphics.
Yeah, things you'll see on the broadcast.
Will there be a picture of this guy in a 49ers jersey? Yeah.
Fair or foul, live from McDonald's and Conyers.
Well, we also had the injury report come out for the Falcons yesterday. We will talk about that. Also, of course, like we've been mentioning, Sunday will be here before we know it. It's time to shape up the Falcons defense against the 49ers offense. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is 6:23. We are the morning shift. Good morning. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and every Friday you can join us for the Tailgate at Home. It's presented by Publix. Bo will fire up the grill, share his favorite game day recipes, and you can share your best work as well on the grill by tweeting us at the morning shift. It's the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype this year with Publix. Every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This week it sounds like we're getting steak tacos. Or has your stomach changed its mind, Bo?
No, it definitely hasn't. I do like a flank steak. Mm-hmm. And I marinate it for 24 hours in some vinegar and a few other things. And man, you just sear it, basically cook it medium rare, slice and dice it, and you can get steak tacos all week with a piece of flank steak that you get from like Publix. Are normally pretty good chunks.
Mm-hmm.
They're phenomenal too. I mean, it's so good. Is anything better than a steak taco? Other than a straight steak, like straight ribeye?
No, I don't think so.
It's kind of the perfect mixture of all worlds.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right.
A little breakfast sauce too on there. Seriously, the
Allie's going French fries.
Yeah. I forget. Well, I was going to argue that like a buffalo tofu taco is like so good, but
I don't even know what that means.
There's no way I could get anyone to buy into that.
What is that even comprised?
So it's fried tofu like with buffalo sauce all over it, in a taco. It's really good with a little bit of celery in there.
I mean, it sounds great if you replace tofu with steak.
You're not selling me. I know. Not selling me.
There's no way steak could ever compare to tofu. I completely understand. I get it. We did get the Falcons injury report yesterday. Darnell Mooney was limited along with Felipe Franks. Jake Matthews, Leonard Floyd, Billy Bowman, Clark Phillips, and Jalen Walker did not participate. Any of these worrying you guys?
Well, no, because that's obviously a projection. Yeah, Jake Matthews worries me a lot because I don't – Mike, I want you to explain this. I'm going to set you up. Allie asked me if it worries me. An offensive lineman in his, 12th year, who's played as many games consecutively as he has, a high ankle sprain absolutely terrifies me, mainly because of how much stress is put on the lower body of an offensive lineman, especially a tackle,
right,
with getting out of your set, not only being in your set like that, but out of it, and moving with rushers and just putting stress on you.
Yeah, well, let me separate the two questions, right? Because I think Allie said, does it worry you? I think the two different things, does it worry me if Jake Matthews doesn't play as opposed to does it worry me that he was on the injury report and did not practice?
Well, I think what worries me more is just the injury that he has.
Correct. I don't think, but like I said, let's go back to the injury report. Mm-hmm. No. Like, nobody on the injury report worries me right now because it's such a short week. Right, okay. We're still, yesterday was 48 hours after Monday Night Football. It's not going to be a problem for me so far. Now, the thought of Jake Matthews not playing, yeah, we can definitely be worried about that.
Well, and this is something that Raheem Morris did talk about. He talked about Jake Matthews' status for Sunday night's game.
It'd be hard for me to bet against the Matthews. He's just that type of guy. He's going to do everything that he can do to play. I know him that well. He won't talk much about it. That's not his mentality. That's not his deal. But as we get later into the end of the week, I'm sure we'll have a better feel for what that is and how it looks. Obviously, it's still fresh. Obviously, you played a Monday night game. Obviously, you got a short week, all the things working against him. But when you talk about a Matthews, particularly Jake, it'd be hard for me to count him out.
And, of course, that was from Dukes and Bell yesterday. They were up at Flower Branch. Got to talk with Raheem Morris about Jake Matthews. Now, let me re-ask, are you worried about Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the thought of him not playing, yes, it's worrisome. I'm so curious to see what happens with that entire rotation. We kind of covered this yesterday. Storm Norton's still in that kind of gray area coming off injury reserve, which he did have a procedure, I believe, right there in preseason. Michael Jarrell is the one that came in at left tackle during the game. I was curious. I mean, if it was a longer stint of Jake Matthews, like if we were going to talk about Jake Matthews on short-term IR, then I would be curious to see if you moved Elijah Wilkinson to left tackle and had Michael Jarrell at right, because Elijah has played snaps. He started a preseason game at left tackle, and Michael Jarrell has started at right tackle for the Seahawks in past games. So, yeah, I mean, it's worrisome. Jake Matthews is an above-average player, to say the least, and has always kind of been that guy. You also have the communication issues where I just talked about. Remember, Bo, we went into pregame, and I said Matthew Bergeron's having a better year than Chris Lindstrom. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Chris Lindstrom has had to deal with a new right tackle. Well, if Matthew Bergeron suddenly is doing the same thing, that becomes worrisome because of the scheme, because of the wide zone, because of everything that we're asked to do. Now, I do think, and you and I talked about this yesterday, I think Zach Robinson did a good job of taking care of Michael Jarrell in the second half, but you don't ever want to go into a game without having your 10, 11, 12-year left tackle and a captain of your offense.
Oh, absolutely. Look, they did take care of him. And there was times where, guess who took care of him? Michael Penix, by understanding and the pocket presence to get the ball out. That throw to Bijan Robinson in the final drive where they gained like down the sideline, the right sideline, where they got like 20 something yards.
Yep.
That was Joey Bosa was about to have a sack lunch there and Michael Penix and just eat him up because he actually did hit him. He beat Jarrell on an inside move, and that Jarrell was singled up on that play. Look, I tend to say, well, was Joey freaking Bosa?
Yeah, he's having a good year.
And he's one of the better pass rushers we've seen in the last 15 years. So it's not, it's not just your average Joe, right? I mean, it's one of the
no pun intended.
Yeah. It's one of the – it's yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's pretty good. should have said Joey. It's one of the best guys in the league at what he does. But then again, that can't be happening because that's when you force – when you get hit like that, you start forcing balls in there like he did with Drake late in the drive, where, you know, we got to say he's got to take care of the ball better. So you just want Jake out there, right? I mean.
I'm sorry. Do we know which ankle it is?
Pretty sure it's his left.
It's the left?
I'm pretty sure it's his left, but
I was going to say, I've been trying to think and remember.
I thought he was holding his left.
Dylan's
I also think
yes.
it's the left, yeah, from what I can remember.
Yes. I remember seeing him hold it. I remember seeing the replay of him go down and hold it, and then I remember seeing him limp off. The limping is a lot less clear than the replay, but I could be wrong. I just think it. I think it was that. But remember, this is a guy that played in 2000. Again, it's a while ago. 2016, he had a strain in a ligament in his knee, and they're like, "Yeah, you." They said Jake won't play for 2 to 3 weeks, and Jake played the next week.
Yeah,
and it was a West Coast trip too.
Well, this is one of the things about us all being involved in the radio, where I'm like, I don't remember seeing the actual injury cut. I remember him. I saw him walking off, you know, but you have to kind of, you know, search through the video and try to figure out which ankle it is. And I will say the left one is that's tougher for a left tackle.
It is the left. I just confirmed it.
There you go. So that's tougher for a left tackle because of the redirection and pass set, or you can kick back. But if you do get an inside move, just like the one you were talking about, Joey Bosa pulled on Michael Jarrell, all of a sudden you're trying to close down the B gap. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Absolutely. And I know you guys, while I was out in the bullpen this morning, we're kind of looking over some film. And we'll just broadly get into this right now, dive back into it at 7. But when it comes to our defense versus the 49ers offense, what were you seeing that maybe has you a little bit like, we should keep an eye on that?
Well, I think we should start from the top because we're trying to figure out who's playing quarterback. And it sounds to me like a lot of people expect Brock Purdy to be back. But when you look at the injury report and Kyle Shanahan's words, Mac Jones is kind of ahead of Brock Purdy. They're both injured. Mac Jones seems closer to 100% than Brock Purdy does, and he's dealing with that, you know, type of turf toe injury. But I saw, you know, just watching a little bit of last week, I saw Mac Jones look uncomfortable at times against pressure. And I saw really – this is crazy to say about a Kyle Shanahan offense. I saw them really struggle to run the football at a high clip. And they still have – great offensive linemen, and they still have a healthy Christian McCaffrey. But, man, it seems like for whatever reason, and I know that we'll talk about it and Bo wants to get more in-depth in it, you know, throughout the show, schematically it's just not what you've grown accustomed to in a Kyle Shanahan offense in their running game. And so I think they're trying different things schematically to see what kind of works. I'll be curious to see how they come out and try to go against us, but it's just they've struggled running the football.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, well, you know, they were playing one of the better run defenses in the league in Tampa Bay, but they're 30th this year. They're only averaging 82 yards on the ground this year.
It's rough.
I don't know if that that's the problem, though, is they're doing that, but then you turn around and look at it, they're leading the league in passing. How much of that is not having Purdy for so many games? Because I think Brock Purdy, we don't give enough credit for how much they want to use him on the run.
Yeah.
They let him do a little bit, but he rolls a lot. I saw Mac do kind of a half roll. But, I mean, this offense, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again, and I know we got to go to break. They're all a version of what Mike Shanahan ran in Denver and in Washington, where all these guys were on the staff, McVay, Shanahan, Raheem, I think O'Connell up there, who's up there in Minnesota. They've Jon Snowed the offense. Every one of them has. They've took it in their own way. And they've Jon Snowed it.
Well, we're going to get back into this on a deeper level because Mike and Bo, and I don't, so I'm confused. But not my show, sorry. But we'll get back into this at 7 a.m. this morning. Coming up, we might have a job opening in Florida soon. That hot seat is on fire right now. And we've got my Mac drop. It is Throwback Thursday trivia. We haven't had a round that's counted since September 18th.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been almost a month.
I know. So right now it's 9-8. Mike, you are leading, obviously, anybody's game. That is next on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland met with a handful of influential boosters on Tuesday and was told continuing financial support depends on new direction with the football program. This is all according to USA Today. They're saying Billy Napier could be fired as soon as this weekend. Certainly will not survive another loss. Now, if they go this route, Billy's buyout would be $21 million.
I even saw a report that he'd be fired no matter what.
Really?
Just do it already. If that's the thing, what are we doing? Like, I don't understand. I don't know. I'm frustrated with the whole thing. I don't like the fact that you're in this position. They are playing Mississippi State this week. It's in Gainesville. I don't like being in this situation to begin with. But just don't talk about it. Just do what you're going to do. It's not fair to Billy Napier. It's not fair to the players. I think they waited. Remember when we talked about when Virginia Tech, Brent Pry was fired? We talked about the red shirt thing.
Yeah.
Well, now that rule has suddenly changed.
Yeah.
And not just red shirt, but portal. They can enter. Like, so.
I don't think it changed until next year, though, right?
No, I'm not sure the verbiage on it. Most of the time, it feels like when the NCAA decides they're going to do something, they make the change right. They're kind of like NASCAR.
Right now.
They're like NASCAR. They're like, hey,
this
you know what?
A bad idea. Let's change this.
We've raced 31 races this way this year. We're going to make a change for this week moving forward. Yeah. And then we'll readdress it at the end of the season. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Does this – I don't like how this is starting to unfold. Because you said the word influential boosters. I don't know that there's a booster that's not influential, first and foremost.
You know,
second of all, they're holding Scott Strickland's feet to the fire and basically making his decision for him because everything now in college football is financial, more so than it ever has been.
I heard a name, I think, last year, Mike. I want to say it was last year, and it was early last year, and there's one guy down there that controls more money than everybody else.
Mm. Yeah.
And basically, the program – The firing of people, it basically is determined on what he decides. Like, if he decides I'm pulling funding, then they're like, unless you make a move, then you make a move. And I'm not 100% sure. That's just something I'd heard through back channels. I do have a couple people around that program that kind of like the back channel. So that talk about the money stuff. But that's the one thing I heard too when Kirby got to Athens, is that he went to South Georgia with a couple of predominant donors,
influential boosters,
and got money for the program, and that's how the indoor facility got done. That's how some of the staff was able to get hired. Like, so
who's been the best Florida coach since Urban Meyer?
Dan Mullen.
You think so?
Yeah,
more than Jim Mack.
Yeah, Dan Mullen. And you can say, well, Jim Mack made two straight SEC championship games.
Yeah,
how'd those turn out? Dan Mullen played in one himself, and they were
very close.
They were very close against one of the best offenses we've ever seen.
Yeah, very close. Ah, just curious.
I think it's Dan Mullen. I thought Dan won more than anybody else since that era. Dan was fired, I think, in a winning season. Yeah, they went to a bowl game that year.
You have it, Florida fans. Bring Dan Mullen back, baby. Bring him home.
Dan,
he's back in the circle.
Dan irritated some people down there, too, some influential boosters, which is why he was fired. He also didn't want to recruit as much as some of these guys. Spurrier's already weighed in on Lane Kiffin. So I have a feeling they're going to go all in on trying to pry Lane away from Ole Miss. Let's just hope they have a good backup plan.
Lane's buyout is about to hit nine figures. I mean, goodness, it's about to be insane.
Gracious. Alabama's running back Jam Miller is questionable to play in Saturday's game against Tennessee after getting a concussion last week late in the Missouri game.
Yeah, he got hit hard. Both sides, the defender and Jam Miller, both lowered their head, both made head contact. He kind of arms stiffened as he falls to the ground, fumbles the ball out of bounds. I'm not trying to be overreactionary or whatever it may be. This is huge for Alabama. He's different than anybody else. He is in the realm of the old school Alabama backs that we saw under Nick Saban, and he reminds me a lot of like Josh Jacobs, the way he's able to run the football. And Josh Jacobs was never like the feature guy at Alabama for most of his tenure, but that's what Jam Miller kind of is. The rest of the guys serviceable, but nobody comes close to what Jam Miller is. I think that he was a big loss when you played Florida State. Tennessee's good team, man. You need everybody kind of on deck, and Jay Miller obviously being in the protocol is a tough thing for that program if he's not able to play.
I think he was a big gain for them when he came back for the Georgia game, if I'm not mistaken. They've played three really good teams in a row.
Yep.
And they've looked very good. Real quick, what's the key to beating Tennessee if you're Alabama? Because Tennessee wants to – they'll air it out. We saw that with Brazil, I think, or Brazier, that stud wide receiver they have that lit up Georgia. How does Alabama beat Tennessee? What is the key to that?
The Alabama game plan is keep your offense on the field as long as possible and try not to overexpose anybody defensively. Now, here's what I will say, and Alabama fans that pay attention to this, Damani Jackson, who has been a starting corner for the last couple of years, has looked terrible this season. Got picked on against Georgia, got picked on against Florida State, got picked on more last week. He kind of got benched halfway through the Missouri game. And they're trying at a couple of different spots defensively to put more freshmen in. Some guys that are up-and-comers. Really, offensively, they're doing the same thing at right tackle. I think they're going to try to continue to break these guys in while also not benching the guys that you're paying a lot of money to that are in, like, their fifth year of college football. So it's really – it's kind of a transition period. But the game plan is stay on the field as long as you can offensively, convert third downs, and make sure their offense is not able to kind of get their wheels turning.
Well, the Big 12 fined Kansas and Texas Tech $25,000 apiece for fan behavior. Texas Tech was penalized during the game for fans throwing tortillas on the field. That tradition was banned before the season even started, while Kansas was fined for disparaging comments by head coach Lance Leipold. One of his claims was that a Texas Tech fan had thrown a pocket knife at a staffer, and that turned out not to be true.
This is a bad look for Lance Leipold. Like, this is what he said after the game. He said a staffer got hit by a pocket knife thrown from the stands. And what happened is the Big 12 went back and looked at it, and there's just the only film they have is of somebody dropping it on the sideline, possibly dropping it out of their pocket on the sideline, and another person coming just picking it up. So he was trying to make a big deal about the tortillas being thrown, being like, hey, you know, this thing's spiraling out of control. We had a guy get hit by a pocket knife. And when they went back and looked at the tape, they said it was very clear that this was an absolute lie. And the thing that stinks about it is you're going to continue to get fined if you're Texas Tech from what I think is a pretty cool tradition, throwing the tortillas on the field. It is what it is. He's trying to get it to stop. It looks bad all the way around for Kansas. It really does. I hate this.
I think what really got him in trouble was not just the lie, but the way he went in on it, saying it's a culture thing and it's been accepted and it hasn't changed. And he made some
rough, man.
You know, I think whenever you try to call out, when you lie about someone else's air quote culture like that in the stands and basically call them dangerous, it's you're opening yourself up to get in trouble. He went a little too far, but like everybody's dramatic these days. I just add Lance Leipold to the mix there. He's very dramatic. You know, that's a guy I like, right, by the way. You want to talk about
Ding.
You want to talk about head coaches that could come? Joey McGuire, Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech has infused a boatload of money in that program.
I don't know that they can afford him.
You know, I'm not sure Florida is I think they can put as much money as Texas Tech is these days. But Texas money, it hits different. Everything's bigger in Texas, Allie.
Well, make sure to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Again, it's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, it's Throwback Thursday trivia time. We'll see how many of these questions we can get in. Mike won last time on September 18th.
Man,
so the season, I know, we've had some weird weeks. The season is 9-8. Mike, you're in the lead. As always, your name is your buzzer, and Dylan will play referee on this. We'll see how that goes. Angel Reese is the first professional athlete to walk in the Victoria's Secret fashion show. It's a huge milestone for her last night. And today's theme, okay, it seems like it's going to be more difficult than it is. It's all about models.
Oh, so it's not Angel Reese themed. Okay, I was going to be okay. I know some Angel Reese stuff.
No, it's all about models. You know athletes love their models.
Okay. All right, I'm here. I'm ready. All right.
Name is your buzzer.
All right.
In 2013, this model, who is married to Justin Verlander, appeared.
Mike. Kate Upton.
There you go.
I was going to crush you if you missed that one. Dude, I was going to absolutely kill you.
What NBA great made a decision to be the face of Louis Vuitton?
LeBron James.
That is correct. It is 2-0 with Mike in the lead. Model and former Miss Universe Olivia Culpo married
Mike. Who is Culpo? Christian McCaffrey.
That is correct.
Let's go.
Okay. What former NFL player wasn't so thrilled about all the jokes that were made at his roast about his...
Tom Brady.
That is correct. It is 4-0 with Mike in the lead.
I don't know. I watch sports. I don't read Victoria's Secret magazines like you did.
You saw the Tom Brady roast. Come on.
Actually, didn't watch that. I watched a clip of it.
Which track star, known for her long, elaborate...
Jackie Joyner-Kersee?
No.
Oh, it's Flo-Jo. My bad.
No. Which track star, known for her long, elaborate nails, has modeled for Nike?
Oh, my gosh. I can see her face.
Yeah.
I know this one.
I can't get it. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Sha'Carri Richardson. Yeah. Sha'Carri Richardson. I'll give myself a...
Sha'Carri?
I couldn't. I was like, dude, I can see her face. And she got in trouble like a couple months ago, and I watched the video of that just recently. But, yeah, okay.
Which former Yankees captain married model Hannah David? Dylan?
Bo.
All right, Bo.
Derek Jeter.
I feel like
that
I got
is
that
correct.
One.
You feel like you get everyone. You don't.
4-1. Mike is in the lead. Model and Bring It On actress Gabrielle Union married
Bo. Mike.
Dylan?
Mike.
Dwayne
Wade.
I want you to cut that and we're listening to it in the break.
You
I
think
know
you
I,
get everyone.
I know
you
I beat him on
you
that
get
one.
Everyone.
I know I heard him say Mike after I'd already said Bo.
Right.
Okay, we'll see. I'll cut it up for you.
5-1. Mike is in the lead. Which tennis star was turned into a Barbie for Mattel last year? If I were her sister, I'd be jealous about that one.
Bo. Serena Williams.
That is correct.
I was like, it's one or the other, but I don't know which one.
I was like, are there any other tennis stars that are sisters?
5-2. Mike is in the lead. Devin Booker kept up with this Kardashian slash.
Chloe.
No.
Ah!
It was a
Kendall.
Kendall, yes.
Nice work.
Kendall's
but he didn't buzz in with his name.
You really folded on that one, Mike? I'm disappointed.
Sorry, man. I'm not keeping up
with
the Kardashians.
Maybe you should have gave it to him like he did that other one.
Sorry, man. Jeez.
Which Falcon smiles so much he's now a model for Colgate?
Mike. Bijan Robinson.
That is correct. 6-2-3. Country singer, reality star, and model for her own brand, Kittenish. Jesse James Decker is married to
Mike.
Which?
Bo.
Mike.
What is this? Eric Decker. Sorry.
There you go. Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Why are you looking at me like I'm going to give
like,
you
dude, I know this
name?
Guy's name. I'm pretty sure Eric Decker's my age, if I'm not mistaken.
Might be older.
We'll try one more. Which former NFL player / bachelorette contestant?
Bo. Jesse Palmer?
No.
Oh.
Is expecting a baby with Mochi swimwear model, JoJo Fletcher.
Jordan Rodgers played in the NFL? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's Jordan Rodgers.
Jordan Rodgers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I thought
that was like the only other
I'm
guy that was
positive
possible.
He was a private. He was on.
So yeah, you're right. He was really good in college.
It counts, though.
He was really good in college.
No, it counts.
No, there's no doubt it counts. There's
guys in this city that say they play in the NFL and it was a practice squad. I'm fine with it.
I thought we were getting into is the practice squad.
No, it counts. I'm just saying he was on the roster in the practice squad.
I told you guys before, those guys have it rough. They had an era there where it was what's the other guy's name? Jay Cutler and Jordan Rodgers back to back at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something.
Some Jesse's there, man.
Diego Pavia gets a lot of credit for how he's played, and I'm like, they're like, they haven't had a quarterback like this, and I'm like. Did you just freaking forget Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
The era? Because you don't have to like Jay Cutler. I don't really care if you do or not, but he was a hell of a player at Vanderbilt.
Yeah. There was like one or two guys in between those two, but man, they were both good.
Congratulations, Mike. You are now in the lead for the season. 10-8. Coming up, Mike and Bo have sized up the Falcons' next opponent. We will get into the Falcons' defense against the 49ers' offense. What to watch for next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.